Okay, thank you. The April 12, 2006 Board of Directors meeting of the Oceano Community Services District is hereby called to order. Roll call, please.
President
Here.
President
Here.
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 Hey, would you all please stand and join me for the flag salute? Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and this takes us to public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items not on the agenda. Presentations are limited to 3 minutes. Is there any public comment at this time?
Max Padillo, Shannon Market. I would just like to welcome members of the board and the community of Oceano. We finally got the gas station open, and we haven't really had a couple of weeks of smooth sailing, but you know, the weather's kind of damped it a little bit, but it's business is picking up. A lot of the old customers that we had there a long, long time ago have come back, which is a good thing. I would like to invite the services here in Oceano, if it's all possible. The Valero has a fleet rate also, so we're very competitive with Sebastian and any other local stations that have different type of credit cards. The Valero has a fleet rate, and we're ready to service the fire department, the water department, or anybody else that's interested. They can apply for applications, and we will definitely serve them. And I understand, if you can find it cheaper someplace else, then that's where you have to go. But I think that the community of Oceano, what you save in making a round trip of maybe 5 miles, you'll save it here in Oceano. Because my rates are a lot better and very competitive with Grand Avenue from Grover all the way to Arroyo Grande. And the public is invited, and everybody here. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment at this time?
My name is Mark Wampler, Oceano resident. I said last meeting that I was trying to look for something good on this district, and I finally found a couple of items. I recently watched the Zone 3 meeting, just glancing through it, and noticed that our general manager had showed up, and some of us know that showing up at Zone 3 meetings are almost a waste of time because much of all the cost pass-throughs are rubber-stamped right on in, and not much can be said from the outside, but it was a good gesture to see Mitch there, and I appreciate that. And secondly, while I don't think that our general manager belongs on advisory council, he does good work with secretarial work. I did get a packet from the advisory council today, and I appreciate that again, so thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, Jeanette Padilla-Oceano. This is for Mr. Dahl, just to give an advice that please to have a little respect for some of the members of the board and to remember that it's very important to have a freedom of speech.
Thank you.
Mary Lucy Oceano. And going through the warrants, I noticed that that we provide over $300 a month for gas for our general manager to drive his car, and also $355 for other car stipends, which comes to over $600. And so I'd like to piggyback on what Mr. Padilla said, is that we have a gas station in town now, and I think that's a really, really big thing. And in order to support the economic growth of this town, I think it's only appropriate that we take our tax dollars and ask that they be spent in town. And so I think that's a policy decision for you guys. But I want you to realize that, you know, some of us taxpayers do realize that over $655 a month does go into automobile expenses.
So I'll comment as a concerned citizen. I'm concerned over adequate staffing and excessive turnover in the fire department, particularly among our paid call volunteers. Therefore, I'm concerned over treatment of these employees. What effect do management decisions have on morale? 1 week, we issue as a board the commendation to an employee. The next week, that employee is told to resign or be terminated. Is that how we want our employees to be treated in the fire department? We have many outstanding employees in our fire department that give our town wonderful service. Is that what they have to look forward to? Why should we expect any loyalty from any of them? I have to question the management, but everyone wants to keep quiet. What is the purpose for this? Was an at-will position really the issue here, or is there some ulterior motive? Sometimes in this district, I smell a rat, and I smell one here. It seems to me perhaps a pattern of behavior. Are there dots to be connected? I recall authorizing the fire department to begin a process to engage full-time staffing, then finding that the process was already essentially complete. It was a done deal, and our full-time staff was identified even before the ink was dry on the legal notice. Is our department really so undesirable that essentially no one from outside would apply? Recall that one employee was hired here in violation of a district ordinance. Our highest form of authority in the district is our ordinances. That ordinance established a long-standing policy against hiring an immediate relative of a board member, but nepotism prevailed. So I wonder, was this recent termination done in response to some intolerable malfeasance, like drinking from the wrong cup of coffee? Or was it a callous means to clear the way for advancement of a favored son? Time may tell. Awards one day and termination the next. What does that do for morale? Years of good service followed by a new perspective on the fireman's boot. When it comes down to all is this, I really have to question the competence of management. But after all, even the full-time fire department employees are at-will positions. Fire chief is an at-will position, even general manager. Maybe a promotional path could be cleared all the way to the top. It's an election year. Time will tell.
Is there any additional public comment? Okay. Moving on to item number 4, review and approval of the minutes. Is there any?
Am I correct on item 10A that the general manager gave the report on zone 11A?
Yes.
I didn't see that reflected in the minutes.
No, I'm sorry, I did not, no. President Dahl was there. No, I'm sorry. I was thinking of the RAC. I'm sorry. Excuse me, Mr. President. Can I just get a clarification here on item 6A? I'm sorry. Where would you like?
Oh, okay. Item 6A says request by South County Sanitary Service for a 4.67% rate increase. Could we just show the? Otherwise, there's no record in the. In the minutes what the request was for.
Okay, anything else? Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move that the minutes be accepted as corrected.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Abstention.
Carries 4 with 4 ayes with a 1 abstention. Okay. I'd like to take item 6 out of order, and if there's no objections, and take the report from Commander Basti. At this point in time.
Uh,
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. President. Martin Vasti, Sheriff's Department Committee Board, staff, and members of the public. I've been absent for the last couple of meetings. That's because we spent some time up in San Luis Obispo taking care of their Mardi Gras problem and a few other long-term projects that we've been working on. I trust that the sergeants have been over here during your meetings and have kept you up to date and apprised, and we certainly have an excellent staff that takes care of that. Speaking of that, on Saturday, the 15th, the Oceano Elks Club is doing their annual public safety. They'll be recognizing members of the fire department, as well as the sheriff's department, high patrol, and parks and beaches for their service. And this year, our recipient is Darren Davidson. Deputy is the second dry day that we've had in a long time. So it seems like the cabin fever's over and they're out and about. So our calls for service up, but nothing of major consequences. So that's, we're really happy to report we're right on track. And, of course, being budget time, this year we were asking for additional deputies to be added in consideration of possibly splitting the beat so we have more cars available. This is to keep in check with the growing population, as well as trying to add a senior deputy that will be dedicated to crimes for computers, because internet theft and identity theft is huge, and we need somebody dedicated full-time because of the expanse. I mean, you might be living here in Oceano, but somebody in St. Louis is taking your information. Really difficult for follow-up, so we want to get a senior deputy to do those investigations. Now on with, if I can have just a few minutes. The meeting previous to January's meeting, there was some discussion on what would happen if we had a tsunami and some evacuation. We had some folks here from the county. After last year's event where they had the tsunami warning based on the earthquake that was off of Eureka, the county went back and determined that their plan was out of date. I had the good fortune to sit with a lot of the other public service agencies and our county office of emergency services. We rewrote the entire response plan for the coastal area. The next step in the planning is to come up with a formulated standardized signage that will give everybody an indication of where the areas of tsunamis may be in danger and evacuation routes to high ground. Now keep in mind, this is a limited planning area because it only affects the coastal area. Obviously San Luis Obispo, Paso Robles, Tascadero is not going to be affected because of where they're located. And keeping in mind, with any natural disaster, you can only get within so far of a scientific reality of where it might possibly hit or when it might possibly hit, but at least you can go that direction. And recently, you folks saw the addition of the fortification of the dam, which, you know, there was some costs involved. But again, those are things that you plan in disaster, and those are monies well spent, because if that dam collapses, especially now when it's full, downstream, it's a significant issue. So in planning, one thing that we do have that is public documentation is a map showing the areas of 50-foot elevation or less up. Your side down. That's not. Okay. Okay. And again, we have a complete set which covers from San Simeon clear down to Guadalupe, and each one is by community, okay? This is the specific coastline that addresses Oceano, including the Oceano Beach and the dune areas. And as you can see, there's a small red line area, okay? That's from geofiles of the 50-foot elevation. Those areas in a tsunami event are likely to be flooded. You also see the large encroachment where the Rio Grande Creek goes up. And so, but looking at it closely, this facility, the fire department, our facility, Mr. Bookout, and Max, we're all within the red zone, okay? Which means that that is gonna require us to make some adjustments in our response, et cetera. The fortunate thing is we work off mutual aid, so fire service and law enforcement from Paso, San Luis, Tascadero is all going to be available to us because they're not going to be affected. So, but we're going to have to make some adjustments, and that is the next step what the county is planning on right now. But you can see the fine line, and if anybody wants to, I have a set of maps. There's a set of maps at the Watch Commanders. There's also a set of maps at the Coast Station, which covers the jurisdictions you're more than welcome to see if you're in the affected area. And again, an evacuation, if it was necessary, either watch or warning, that evacuation, if you look at it, a lot of the green area is the state park with the campground, but not a whole lot of residence areas. So the evacuation numbers, depending on when, may be limited. So access to the road, and if you notice where Highway 1 loops out, you can go as far as the bottom of the mesa and actually be above the 50-foot elevation. So your evacuation is not as lengthy as it would if there was a incident at Diablo Canyon or a forest fire or something else, which because of the area we're in, we don't really have to deal with. I wanted to share that with you because they just got through finishing these maps, and we did the entire county and the plan of who's going to respond, who's going to notify, and then next step is going to be a practice, and then a third step is going to be a public education campaign as well as signage. Now, they do have some standard signage, but everybody has to agree where they go, and basically it's a big wave with a little guy standing underneath it. Our significant issue here, as you can see by the red loops, is that primarily west of Highway 1 is in that zone that would be necessary for evacuations, et cetera. So I wanted to share that with you. Those of you, obviously it's hard to see, but you're welcome to come over. We'll lay it out on the table in the community room, and you can kind of pick through, and we can put little pin map dots or X's where you are if you're so inclined.
Commander, that seems to be the least populated area in the channel, is that correct?
That
area that's outlined in red? Yes. Do you know approximately how much, what portion of the population versus the east side of Highway 1? Because it seems like the only people that would be affected would be the people around in the beach area down there and across the park and stuff there. So. The evacuation would probably affect the whole channel, but be less of the population affected by that.
Yes. Yes. So you're looking at about 10% of the population of residents. However, the real significant thing with Oceano is if you have a beach weekend, say the 4th of July weekend, when you have upwards of 20,000 visitors for the day, depending on the time of day, et cetera, that could be a significant issue. However, if you notice those red areas, if you go over a couple of dunes, and length of time, especially in the area we live, the fortunate thing is most of them have come from, historically anyway, from up north in the Aleutian Islands down. They travel about 600 miles an hour. We usually have about a four-hour window, but that doesn't mean that we couldn't have some incident with the faults that we have off of the coast
what
now.
What kind of a warning system did you have? For instance, just say that you have these people that are down the beach beyond that creek, and how much time do they have to really evacuate that beach area down there?
It depends on the event. Okay, it depends whether it's south, whether it's north. There's a lot of other factors, but primarily the response would be the sirens would sound. You would then turn the radio. They would then give instructions, whether it's a watch or a warning. Okay, watch means it's a potential. Warning means it's coming. And so what they would do is then send out the warning and by the sirens, and the sirens do cover the beach area.
How well is the Central Coast prepared to initiate a warning or be able to detect so-called tsunami?
Very well. Matter of fact, our entire coastline with NOAA has the buoys and everything else. And this is post-1964 tsunami that they had in Crescent City. We learned quite a bit, and that was one thing, is when the tsunami occurred over in the South Pacific this last over, we'll pull those maps. You can actually see those. I think it's important. It's also important probably for your fire service as well as your district here, if you're planning on using it for evacuation point or whatever, is to kind of consider maybe using the community center or, you know, we'll go borrow Rare Grandies or something, but it may be an issue. Okay? Is there any other questions or any comments? Things have been going well out in the field. And Max has also told us they take Voyager, which is great because that's our county credit card. So we like to keep them full just in case of a disaster. Then at least we can run around and respond, and we won't end up like they did in New Orleans, not available. So that's a real plus for us. Thank you.
Any questions?
I'd like to compliment Commander Bassey for being involved in our community. I've seen you out and about. I appreciate seeing you out there. recently we were up at the county with a group of other citizens regarding our Oceano cleanup, and you were involved. So I'd like to compliment you. I think the Sheriff's Department's done a great job here in Oceano. I would like to note, have you found the golf ball people yet?
No, we went through a bunch of backyards, but it was interesting because shortly after I talked to you that they had an incident over off of Elm Street. So, and I'm not saying it did or didn't happen. Somebody's got a launcher, but obviously we went through the given area of the possible. And what he's talking about, somebody was launching golf balls, probably by an air cannon or something, and they were popping around the intersection. And the easiest way is to go look and see if, and there wasn't any. So it's possible that it has since moved. But interesting is about 3 days after I talked to you, Roy Grandy had a similar incident where out of nowhere, because there isn't a golf course for miles except for, you know, down by the beach.
Were they using a launcher, or would they be hitting using it with clubs?
Most likely a launcher.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, because we had at my nursery, Oceano Nursery, probably about 10 golf balls within 5 minutes come down and hit a few cars. They crossed Highway 1, rather very dangerous situation. So, question I have, to get the sheriffs out for a call like that, that would be a sheriff's call?
Oh, yes.
Or highway patrol?
Well, it would be both. I mean, if it hits a vehicle, it's 23110 because that's an object on the roadway. It's a vehicle code violation to throw objects at a moving vehicle. However, if somebody's launching and it lands on private property and hits somebody in the head, that's an assault. Okay, so that's ours. So go to us. We'll take care of getting somebody out there. We're dispatched for the entire county. She can pick the closest car or an available unmarked car and get somebody over there right away.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Anyway, I appreciate your comments, and that's what we're here for, and that's what public service is about. So
I'd like to echo Bill's thanks on behalf of the community. You guys are doing a great job.
Okay. And again, like I said, this is just one of those things that you can, you know, kind of put in the back. And if we're more prepared, and again, the education campaign's coming is for notifications, et cetera. But as always, and if you need any of the brochures, you should keep 72 hours worth of supplies, medicine, water, food, et cetera, in your personal home at all times, regardless, so that you're ready, so that you can self-sustain yourself for 3 days until we get enough folks down here to help.
I think everyone should have a kayak in their house.
Everyone should have, either a kayak or a canoe.
For tsunamis.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions? Again, thank you. I'm sorry it took up your time. I know you got a lot of stuff doing, but I think this is important to share and to let you know that that education is coming. And when it does come, is listen carefully to what the county's putting out. Just like we did with Diablo, it'll go on the phone books. It'll have brochures. They'll do a campaign, but that will protect you and your family, et cetera. Okay? Anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Can we go on to item 7?
Sure.
Okay. So let's take item 7 out of order as well.
Okay, the South County Sanitary District came before your board and with a request. There's a modification to that request. The City of Aurora Grandy has asked the author of the San Luis Obispo rate setting process and methodology to review the process. They came up with a slightly different conclusion on the tipping fees, which changed the percentage from 4.67 to 3.76.
Dinner somewhere.
3.76.
All the managers got together, and we determined that we would collectively recommend the 3.76% for an increase request of this interim year. The 4 reflects a 4. I can't read that because I crossed it out.
4.637
okay.
is what it says.
I crossed it out, and it needs to be 3.76. Also, if you look at Mr. Statler's letter to Steve Adams, City of Aurora Grandy, you'll notice on page 2 that the methodology used and the application was correctly done in the last interim review in the year 2005 and also for the year 2004. So the Oceano Community Service District residents have been paying the correct amount for trash service in the past. Also, if you notice on page one of Mr. Statler's report, that the change to the city of Aurora Grande brings their rate up to $14.40 for a single can. And if you look at our resolution appendix A, you'll notice that we have our single can rate is $11.58. The change difference between the two percentages is 20 cents per bill per person, so it's about $1.20 a year. I may be repeating myself, but we do have the lowest rates in the South County as far as trash collection goes. So with that, Mr. Tom Martin is here to answer any questions you may have. And the recommended action before your board is to adopt the resolution approving the 3.76% increase.
Three issues from last time. The city of Aurora Grande had the same concerns that Jim Hill had about my projections. Mr. Statler and I have agreed to disagree. I still think my projections are probably more close to reality than not. However, because you are one of five municipalities that make up South County Sanitary, whatever happens needs to happen at the same in all five so that everybody stays on the same plane. And so with Aurora Grande going forward with their 3.67, that's what we would do in Oceano, and Pismo is going to do likewise and change theirs to that. So that's why I was kind of being a little bit stubborn last week, because acting by yourself kind of screws up the mix. But as long as everybody's doing the same thing, we have no problem with that. The second issue that came up was alleyways, and we had some I was a little bit uncomfortable last time sitting here because you have to pay that tab, and if they're more closer to the consultant's reality, then I'll swallow that and then we'll write it off. In addition to that, if you see my guys driving over a mattress to go pick up garbage, please call somebody, because they're supposed to be calling in. And while they can't pick it up because they don't have the ability to put a mattress in their vehicle, it has to be picked up with a pickup truck and trailer, it needs to be done on a timely basis, because if you let that stuff sit, then more will accumulate. So we want to do it on a timely basis. And along that same vein, I'm going to give Mitch a stack of my cards
to give to each of the directors and to anybody in the public that needs one.
And there's a phone number that rings on my desk on that card. And Director Hill had some concerns from a citizen that didn't like the way things were happening. I want to get a call, you know, as soon as you find out. The most important thing for me is the day it happened, the time it happened, and what commodity it was, recycling, garbage, or green waste. Call me. We'll send a supervisor over. And as the gentleman in the back said as well, if my guy is putting the can 20 feet down the street, I want to know about it, because that's not part of his job. And so I'll give him a card on the way out as well. But we want to hear about it if we're not doing it right. And other than that, I'm here for questions if you have any.
Explain your little $5,000 thing again, please.
One of the things at the last meeting was that one of the issues was that we were not being responsive and picking up the stuff in the alleyways.
Okay.
And I had talked to Mitch previously right after the meeting and said, fine. We'll establish a $5,000 account, and we're just going to put stuff in there so that it gets picked up regardless, and then the issue of who pays will be based on whether the projections that I presented with you the first go-around are more in line, or whether the Statler's projections are what comes to play. The thing about this issue is that in 7 to 8 months, we're going to go into a base year review, and so it becomes a moot point. We're going to go back and look at all the numbers and really find out where we sit. So we're not talking about a large issue.
Weren't you taking into consideration the tipping fees, which Mr. Statler did not? Was it tipping fees or the
Yeah, we
the
had
mandate,
a different
so?
We had a different opinion of about where tipping fees are going to go. I'm predicting that they're going to be higher than he is predicting. He predicted a I want to say, 3 points in December of 05, and I say, my magic crystal ball, this is what I think is going to happen. And that's what it's based on. Uh-huh. Mr. Statler has a different crystal ball, and he thinks things are going to be a little bit different. But in the end, they are all projections. Mm-hmm. And we'll, in 7 or 8 months, we'll know how close that comes.
Okay. Thank you.
I'd like to thank you for your responsiveness and taking the time and care to make sure that the job is going well here. And I know that you've checked periodically with the general manager to make things go smoothly here in the community, and I appreciate that.
I'd like to second that. Thank you.
I have a question. Do we have any public comment? Go ahead.
Yep.
You have to address it to them, actually, I think.
But my question is that since there's going to be some money allocated for the elderly, I have a little concern with the side of the railroad there. They continue to throw mattresses and bolt chairs and stuff, and it's completely neglected. Perhaps we think it belongs to the railroad, but it's actually on 4th Street, behind the eucalyptus trees, and you can see it off of Highway 1 when you get on top of the bridge. You can see all the debris they continue to throw on that site. That should be included there. We should also take part in cleaning that part up, because it is part of Oceana, even though it's on the railroad site.
Yeah, that the $5,000 is for anything Mitch tells me to go pick up. It's not specifically to alleyways. If there's any area that we can get a vehicle to, just let us know and we'll get in there and get it out.
But you can't walk onto private property and get something. Is that correct?
I doubt the railroad's going to make too much of a beef.
No, I'm not talking about the railroad. I'm thinking of a couch that's kind of near Mary's house, I think, that's been in the middle of that one. Well,
we have a furniture store at our end of the town. And quite frankly, the garbage trucks and the Disney trucks bounce right up over that garbage. Now we got a TV set out there and stuff. So I would love to help you, sir. But I can't run out in my nightgown and pull stuff the truck and say, please stop running over that mattress.
Yeah, the garbage trucks aren't going to pick it up. I just want to make sure you all understand that it has to be done with a pickup truck and a trailer. So it specifically needs to be identified. And if there is a concern about whose property it's on, we'll be more than happy to contact the property owner and try and get permission, if the district can get permission.
I was not talking about the alleyways. I was talking about that vacant lot that's up
the corner. If you're talking about the one on the corner of 23rd and Ocean.
Tax lien rolls. So there is a method to do it. It just needs to be identified. And if you let our office know, then we can work with the county and we'll get them out here, because they've said they'll come and write violations. It's a longer process.
The general manager would have the district crews cooperate with you in that endeavor.
Yeah, it, when you go through the county, you just got to remember it's a longer process. It's much easier if you can just get the property owner to say, yes, I can go over there and send two guys and they can pick it up and take it away. I mean, it's that quick, so.
I have another question if I may. Is that $5,000 to be used for the whole Five City area or just for the Oceana?
Just Oceana. Oceana is unique in that we generally don't have alleyways in the other areas. So there's a few here and there, but they don't have the renegade dumping problem that Oceana has historically had and continues to experience somewhat. So, no, it's just for Oceana.
Thank you.
I have a question. Is the garbage company own the landfill also? Is that owned by the same?
It's owned by Waste Connections, the same people, yes. And I'm the general manager of the landfill as well.
So you would probably have a better idea of what the rates are going to be than anybody else.
Yeah. that would be my position.
Mary had her hand up.
Go ahead, Mary.
I don't really have any questions for you, sir. Thank you, though. I appreciate it.
I don't think the issue here is that one couch on that one piece of private property. I think the buildup in the alleys, and Phil, you can speak to this alley, my alley. You know, between 23rd and 24th, it's full of TV sets, clothing, and it's just become a dumping ground back there. And, you know, quite frankly, last year, the weed abatement guys thought it was cute, and they weed whacked around the TVs. And I don't think it's cute.
No.
You know, as far as, I have to take this back to the general manager. I really think that you know, 1% is 1%, and 1% start to add up. And at the last meeting, the general manager brought forth a recommendation to accept the 4.67%. After other cities that actually have a tax base that they can hire people who can properly do fiscal management came back and said, no, we think that's a little high. That's the only reason that we're having this discussion, because Mr. Hill said the people's going to be cost effective. So these long-term contracts are laziness. That's all they are. You know, and we have 3 more years with this company, and that will make 10 years. Correct? Is that correct, sir?
Actually, we've been around for about 25 years.
Well, I know, but this particular contract, how much time is left on this? 3 years out of a 10-year contract. So I'd like to see the last 5 years. I understand that you've made a justification that these percentages weren't off last year and they weren't off the year before, and that's really good. But I'd like to see the contracts and the negotiations for the last 5 years, because is it 1% each year or is it 3% each year that it's been going up? So you can't properly do an analysis without at least 3 to 5 years of back contracts and negotiations. So I don't think we're getting a fair shake here.
Any other public comment?
I think a lot of us can identify or take notice of well-groomed properties that are weed abated, and yet they suffer from people from out of the area dumping trash. I think we have littering laws somewhere where fines should be imposed. I don't know if there's some sort of law enforcement element that could be incorporated into our problem with trashing of our private properties. But there needs to be some resolve to put an end to this kind of stuff. We have to police our alley all the time. I mean, I just drive, be a whatever, stray this or stray that. But when it comes to big items, people are just emboldened to go ahead and find some cozy little nook and where it's nice and dark and where someone may not feel like it can be seen, and all of a sudden, here it is, a pile of junk on somebody's property who normally keeps it well up. And so I don't know. I think we should look at some sort of a law enforcement to get after it, because it's criminal what's happening. Thanks.
Any other public comment?
Max Padillo, Channel. In all fairness to the residents of Oceano, first I'd like to apologize that I didn't attend the other meetings and I didn't know when the increase was proposed. And I heard this gentleman say that Oreo Grande selected a certain percentage and we're all part of the 5-city area. That may be correct. And I'm like any other citizen, I hate to see increases in some of the public services. But in this case, for every community in this area to be hit by that increase. So I'm really opposed to that, and perhaps shorten the time. And perhaps if there's any monies left after that time, that something else might be given to Oceano if they're going to participate in this increase. If there's any monies left from that 5,000, let's give that money to the OCSD, or give it to the community center, or give it to the fire department. Because that money that we're going to pay is going to be the same as anybody else.
I have a question for Tom.
Okay, let's finish with public comment first. Okay. Is there any more public comment? Okay, Tom.
Tom, do you know off the top of your head the rates for Aurora Grande and Pismo, the cans?
In Mr. Stadler's report, there is the Aurora Grande rate, I believe.
That's $14.40 for a single can.
For the single?
Yeah.
Do you have the other?
No, I don't. I just read Mr. Stadler's.
I do not off the top of my head know. I believe the rate in Oceano is the lowest.
So
now, when you get into 2 and 3 cans, everybody has a little bit different variable how they treat it. So, yeah, but the 1 can rate, I believe you are the lowest.
So the only thing that we're even on, if I understand this right, is the percentage of increase. We're not even on the cost of the cans.
That's correct. Cans in Oceano pay less than the other communities, and that was done by the previous board by design when we negotiated what rates you wanted to do when you went to mandatory. That board said we want the one can rate to be lower than everything else, and it's subsidized by the three can customers.
So it's a three
whose
three
rates can. Are much higher.
Okay, the three can, but we don't. Okay.
You have a few people in three can, not very many, and in general, the garbage philosophy is to get people into the one can rate, as many as possible, because we want them to put it in the blue, we want them to put it in the green, so all that stuff gets recycled and not buried. And that's the goal of AB 939.
Okay. So, okay. So we're all having the same percentage increase, but the cost of our cans in each area is different. On the one can, we're the lowest. I don't know about the other two cans.
I know off the top of my head in Pismo Beach, three cans is $33 a month. And I don't know why I remember that. In Arroyo Grande, it's about $24, $25 a month. The two have differing philosophies.
Bi-monthly.
Yeah, but I use the little tiny can.
I do too.
Because I recycle.
Right now you were paying $11.58 a month, which would be almost $23, just like I am.
But yeah, I'm a one and a half household.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, we're paying $22. 32 for the brown can, the one can. Do you fill up your blue waste, your recycled can every week too?
Yes, ma'am. And my green. And I compost.
I'm glad.
Because I don't like glasses.
Yeah, I don't. I guess I'm not there very much. I don't have trash. It's not full every week, but I use the small ones. Okay. Thank you very much, Tom, and thank you, Mary, for your insight.
Any other questions from the board? Am I correct? Did you say that there were some jurisdictions that had already approved the 4.67%? And now we're going back and undoing that?
City of Pismo Beach is going back and changing their original authorization for the larger increase, because the managers got together and we determined it had to be the same, the percentage. And so,
was everybody's contracts for the 10 years, Tom? Or do they all end up in three more years?
Yeah, all five entities that make up South County Sanitary, all those contracts expire in 3 years. That's correct.
And was there as a group, we got coming in as several entities that really saved us some money in the negotiations of the cost of garbage?
I'm sorry, I missed the first part.
As a group, as all the entities got together to negotiate with the garbage company, that was helped us in saving some cost in the garbage collection?
Yeah, you always have. And I just want to reiterate that in terms of review, every 3 years, because you do a base year review, that too is reviewed by Mr. Statler. And I don't know how many of you were here last time, but he came and made a presentation, I believe it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So you have had Mr. Statler to look at everything prior to that. He looks at it every year for Arroyo Grande. And the garbage company.
Resolution 2006-10.
If it's corrected.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. Any final comments before we go to vote? Okay, roll call, please.
Director Mann.
Yes.
Director Angelo.
Yes.
Vice President Bookout.
Yes.
Director Hill.
Yes.
President Dahl.
Yes. Okay, carries 5-0. Okay, this will take us back to item number 5, which is an executive session. Do you have anything to say about this as far as going into this session?
Only to repeat what it states in the agenda, that it's a conference with legal counsel for potential litigation. Threatened litigation against the district by Bill Bookout, and I believe Mr. Bookout plans to recuse himself from participation.
I do plan to recuse myself, so I will not be in the executive session. And this comes from my attorney, so I want to make that clear.
So. Okay, so I guess we'll go up into the front room instead of having everybody else leave. Thank you. Okay, we're returning from closed session, and we'll take a report from District Legal Counsel.
Yes, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. In closed session, the board took a staff report from staff. No action was taken.
Okay, thank you. Okay, this will take us on to item number. Okay, before I move on, is there any public comment on the closed session? Okay, going on to.
I have one question, I'm sorry.
Could you go to the microphone part?
Yes. That's a lot of
President Dahl, I did go into the office and spoke with Gina around regarding the warrants for several hours, so. Okay. But there, she didn't have the answer to a lot of stuff.
I'm sorry, is this on the. On
yes,
this
it
item?
Is.
Okay.
So,
all with regard to threatened litigation against the district by Bill Bookout.
Okay.
I don't think it was ever announced any other way.
Okay, well then. Sorry.
I'm sorry, I'm just like such a. I'm really a bad paper keeper. Well, I'm sorry, sir. I beg to differ with you. Because I'm looking at, from you actually, Mr. Seamus. Background information in our packet, and it starts off with, on January 9th, Director Bookout wrote a letter. So it confused me whether it was a private citizen or if it was in the capacity of a director. That's all I was asking is for clarification, but it's in the packet, so.
We're on item 5A. That report is with regard to item 11A.
Thank you. Okay, any other public comment? Okay, moving on to item number 8, report by district department heads. Any public comment on the reports? Okay. All right, bringing it back to the board. Question, comments from the board?
Nothing at this point.
Do you have something, Bill? Or?
Yeah, I think I do. No, I don't.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I do. I just have the Bauer compressor that we have from the fire department. It's going to be stored not on site here. So it'll be.
Our plan is to keep it down at the old fire station. There's a small room in the front of the building that hopefully will suit our needs for that.
How long have we had that compressor?
I beg your pardon?
How long have we had that compressor?
Ooh,
4 or 5 years.
4 or 5 years, I believe.
Okay. I noticed in our warrants that we're. You'll be getting a new compressor.
New compressor?
New Bauer compressor, I think, compressor.
No.
Maybe I'm mistaken.
I guess we're coming up to that on item number 9.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, so orderlies received and filed. Okay, now we're on item number 9. Mr. Cooney, could you introduce this one, please?
Okay, the Oceano Fire Department has inventoried miscellaneous equipment stored at the old fire station and found the items listed on Exhibit A to Resolution 2006-9 as surplus the district needs. It's the recommendation of the fire chief in concurrence with the general manager that the items delineated be declared surplus to district needs and may be disposed of through sale or just plain disposal. The recommended action before your board is by
Public comment, motion, second, and roll call vote, adopt OCSD resolution 2006-9, declaring property to be surplus and authorized disposal.
Okay, is there any public comment on this item?
Max Padillo, Shannon. The surplus did you say, Mitch, that it was that you could sell it, actually put it up for sale?
If there's anything, yeah. Some of the things are noticed to be, have no value, but if somebody wants it, if somebody comes and they want, for an example, the fax machine, and we place no value on it and pick it up, mm-hmm. I mean, certainly we leave us the responsibility to throw it in a big dumpster.
Well, I can maybe put a recommendation that if there's any surplus out there that could be sold, we should sell it so that we can raise some money to restore that fire truck that they have up there in the corner. I think it's about time that we work a little bit on that so that we could participate in the parades and show our old fire truck out there. I've recently been speaking to a gentleman that has an auto shop here in town, and I believe that if he's given a chance to put a bid on it, I think that he will donate some of his time to restore that truck. And he asked me to find out what entitled as far as the restoration on it. I mean, were you going to chrome all the chrome? I know painting and doing the bodywork and stuff, but maybe if you had an opportunity to see that truck and put in a bit. I know what I've heard, that he may be able to come in there cheaper than the last bit that they had on the restoration of it. But again, if there's any surplus that we can get rid of to raise some funds, I think it's time that we put some money into that truck and put it out to the people.
Fighters Association, which is a separate entity from the fire department or fire personnel.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, bringing it back to the board. Questions, comments from the board?
Again, do we have a bid process or a public sale process for any residents that might be interested in purchasing the equipment? Or if it's items that are listed at no value, then is it first come, first serve if someone wants to come and pick it up?
We'll post a notice on our window, and we'll indicate that, first come, first serve basis, if the fire department is determined to have no value. If it has a value, you could place a sealed bid, and we'll open them on a date to be determined.
Good.
Anyone else? Mitch, I think Arroyo Grande once a year or so does a public auction or so of surplus equipment. I don't know if they've done one recently or not. Could look into that and see if the cost is sufficient to put it in there, or if it would be more costly, if you felt it'd be more costly to hassle with it. Or if they would allow it.
I really don't think Arroyo Grande is going to want our stuff. I mean, we could do a public auction, I guess, if we wanted to. But, I mean, we'd have to do it ourselves. I really think if we took all this stuff down to Arroyo Grande, that's a great idea. But I hope they're not listening to the...
Well, I mean, I know the county does auctions for county surplus equipment. Yeah.
Right, and I mean, we're talking about things that have value. I mean, okay. These are vehicles, and I've seen some of the things that they've auctioned at the county. Operable lawnmowers, because they have what do you call it? A depletion cycle, a turnover cycle, and every so many years, regardless of what condition something's in, they replace it. Like if the lawnmower is in exceptionally good condition and that it's like. Term is over, they get rid of it.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know if it was, if it would be worth looking into or not. Some other agencies could, if we could injunction.
Steve Adams' home address, and maybe we can just kind of drop it off at his house.
Yeah. Well, you're familiar with that process more than I am. So, I just if it's not worth it, we do it how we've done it before. Just thought I'd bring it up.
I see. Come by our. Surplus stuff. We have three wildland coats. That sounds like a Halloween thing. I don't know what FF pants glow bar, but there's no value to four of them. And but I can see
firefighter pants as well.
Firefighter pants. You know, that's a Halloween thing. People would probably have fun dressing up as a firefighter for Halloween and giving this the public a chance to purchase these items. I personally feel we bought them for the public, and we're disposing of them. Let's give the public a chance to purchase them.
The thing that I'd caution on that though is it costs money to put those things together. So we want a positive cash flow on this if we're going to do that.
Yeah. Well, you know, for we have a 24-foot extension ladder which is valued at $75. So I would say that would be our add. You know, that money we'll generate that money. Well, $75, we'll get that money back just advertising.
Yeah, but we'll get that money also just by taking bids. You know, so it's. I think we'll leave it up to the general manager to figure out which is the most cost-effective way to dispose of this. I think it would be the best thing to do.
Bill, last night I asked about some of these items and asked what they do with them. And I believe, if I remember correctly, that Mike said some of these things that they end up here with, they give them to the school. Isn't that correct, the firefighter school? You might want to elaborate on that a little bit so they understand.
The fire department's been in contact with Allen Hancock College, and they operate a fire science department there. They're expanding their training grounds and expressed interest in any of these items that they could have for free.
That's very good.
Yeah. We still have a number of items left from our last round of surplus that's still lying there on the garage floor that nobody has come and collected, and we're offering that to the college as well. So,
yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I did ask the same questions that you were asking about. Mm-hmm. You know, did it have holes in them, or what? You know, why were we getting rid of them?
Okay. Anything else?
I'll move that we surplus this equipment as listed.
Second.
President Dahl?
Yes. Okay, item number 10A.
This is our continuing disclosure that we are declaring an emergency.
All right.
So moved.
Public comment? Okay, bring it to the board.
Second Director Mann's motion.
Okay. Any questions, comments, statements? All right, roll call, please.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Okay, 10B.
Excuse me, let me a point of clarification. Did you jump over 8?
No, we did not. Okay, 10B.
Those who receive and file, Mary.
All of them?
Yeah.
No public comment on them?
I wasn't running the meeting.
Yes, there was public comment on them.
Thank you for the explanation.
Yes, there was. Yes, there was public comment on them. Okay, item 10B.
Item 10B, there was an individual that had an extraordinary utility billing caused by a break-in or leak in their service from time to time. This occurs. The district board policy to allow an adjustment when a leak is discovered and the leak is repaired. Past practice is to adjust the bill to the 18-month average. The recommended action before your board is by board discussion, public comment, motion, second, and voice vote. Direct district staff to adjust the account listed to reflect the 18-month average of the amount due and owing for the period of January 25, 2006 through March 22, 2006.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on 10B? Okay, bringing it back to the board. Discussion?
I'm certainly sympathetic that in the rain it's hard to detect leaks by just observing the surface, so I will move that we adjust the account that's listed on the agenda item to reflect charges for the 18-month average as the amount due and owing for the January 25th, 2006 through March 22nd, 2006 billing period.
Second.
Any additional discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes.
Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, you're somewhat familiar with this because you have previously reviewed an earlier version of this claim. The original version came in January 9th. It was a claim from Director Bookout seeking damages from the district, allegedly the district being responsible for flooding that has periodically occurred in this district. The district, in a timely manner, considered and rejected the claim pursuant to the provisions of the California Government Code. And sent the appropriate notice to Mr. Bookout. Since that time, he's hired M. Scott Radovich, who's a San Luis Obispo area attorney. And Mr. Radovich has filed an amended claim with the board. That amended claim was filed on March 7th. And there are provisions in the code that allow the filing of an amended claim within a certain time period, and they are within the appropriate time period. The amended claim lists as dates of occurrence five specific dates between February of 2004 and January of 2006. And the nature of the claim has changed slightly, is somewhat more specific in terms of the conduct that is alleged, but it all arises out of essentially the same set of facts, and that there is this periodic flooding that occurs out in front of Mr. Bookout's nursery. The California Tort Claims Act has a procedure which says that when a party files a claim against a public entity, it must be done within 6 months or in a few circumstances that I don't believe arise here, 1 year of the incident giving rise to the claim. And the board is required to act on that claim within 45 days. It can reject the claim if it thinks that the claim is without merit. It can allow the claim if the board thinks the claim has merit and the amount demanded is correct. Or it can reject the claim in part if the claim has merit but the amount the board believes is unreasonable. Or it can reject the claim and pursue some sort of compromise if the legal liability or the amount demanded is in dispute. There are two sets of claims here, and they need to be handled somewhat differently because of some technicalities of the government code. With regard to the claims arising out of the events that occurred in January of 2006, we are within 6 months of that date. The claim was filed in a timely manner, and the board has to take action. For the other claims, that date from earlier time periods is somewhat different. If a claimant files a claim late, a claim that's supposed to be filed within 6 months gets filed later than 6 months, which we believe is the case for all the earlier claims, then the board may, at any time within the 45 days after the claim is presented, give written notice to the person who's presented the claim that it's not timely filed and it's being returned to him without further action. In that case, you do not reject the claim. You simply say it is not filed in a timely fashion and we're returning it to you. If the board fails to give this notice, then any defense that the board might otherwise have in court as to the claim being untimely filed is waived. Mr. Bookout's amended claim fails to state what damages occurred on each specific date, so it's impossible to know for certain whether he's required to file a claim within the 6 months for the 1 year of each incident. But regardless of that, all of the claims for the time period before January of 2006 are outside the time limit. So in order to comply with the requirements of the government code with regard to this item, the board must take action on the untimely claims by April 21st. That's the 45-day time limit. And it can do either one of two things. The recommended action is to give Mr. Bookout notice that these claims were not timely filed as required by the code, and then require him to submit an application for permission to present a late claim, which you would take up at a future time. If you do this, then you may use the lateness of his claim as a defense in a later court action.
Your other option is to reject the untimely old claims along with the January 2006 claim and give the notice that's required. And if you do that, then any defense as to the old claims being stale is waived. I realize that's a little bit complicated, but that's what the code says. As was the case before, the staff has reviewed particularly the January 2006 claims, and while everybody is sympathetic with Mr. Bookout, he's certainly suffered from these episodic flooding events, we don't find any merit in the proposition that the district is responsible for. The staff's recommendation is, one, and this is at the top of page 4 of your staff report, as to the untimely claims, those being all the claims related to incidents prior to January 2006, instruct the staff to send the statutory notice regarding presentation of the late claim, return it to them without action. And two, as to the timely claims, those related to the January 2006 event, reject the claim and instruct the staff to send the statutorily required notice. And I've already provided Ms. Davis with those notices, so they're ready to go out if you take the recommended action. I'll be happy to try and answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Let's go to public comment first. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, hearing none. Bringing it back to the board. Discussion?
If there's no discussion, it looks like there's two separate items that are before us here in the recommended action. Item one, as to the untimely claims, that would be all those related to incidents prior to January 2006. I would move that we return the claims without further action and instruct the staff to send a statutory notice regarding presentation of the late claim.
Second.
That I didn't quite catch all that in.
What he has done is he's broken up the two recommended actions.
Okay.
He made a motion in accordance with the first recommendation on the untimely claims.
Okay. All right.
Roll call on this one?
Yes.
Okay. Please, roll call.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Dahl?
Yes. Okay. We still have the matter of the timely claim.
Okay, I'll do the second one, I guess. As to the timely claims, those relating to the January 2006 incident, reject the claim and instruct the staff to send the statutory rejection notice.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
On this item, I'm again concerned that while I believe the district, for the purpose of allowing emergency vehicles to pass unimpeded through that intersection, cleared out the debris. There's some discussion about district weed abatement policies being in effect here, and I've asked that culvert be cleaned out as a preventive measure to allow our emergency vehicles to pass through that intersection repeatedly, and it wasn't done. So I don't believe the district's hands are clean on this one, and I believe it might be in our best interest to seek some compromise and a resolution outside of litigation if possible. So I can't support this motion.
Well, if I remember correctly, there was no, on this claim, there was no dollar figure set. So how can you get a claim saying more than? Am I right, counsel?
Well, in some respects, you're both right. Certainly, in some cases, when you've got a claim where the range of damages is fairly narrow and the allocation of liability is fairly clear, it makes sense for a board to take one of the actions that was outlined in my report to reject the claim in part and to go and try and compromise it. Usually in those cases, conversations between staff or counsel and the claimant can get to a resolution fairly quickly. But here, even if someone was prepared to stand up for the proposition that the district has some liability, there is such a wide range of damages claimed that it's highly unlikely that we could reach a quick compromise. And so the usual procedure in that case is to reject the claim. Certainly, if counsel for Mr. Bookout wants to provide us with some sort of proposal or something, I'll certainly bring it back to the board. I don't get the sense that's what's going to happen here, but we'd certainly bring it back to the board for consideration, and litigation might very well be avoided.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else? Okay, we have a motion on the floor. Roll call vote, please.
Director Hill?
No.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Okay, moving on to item number 12. These are the reports by the district representatives. And been working on the zone 1A items for quite a while and quite a few meetings. There's been a fact sheet gone out to the people that are going to be participating in the vote on this. There's also the ballots have already been mailed, and they'll be coming back over the next few weeks. And the people that have voted, some have already voted, and some will vote between now and then. And there's going to be a hearing later on, and people that attend that hearing can change their vote up until the time of that hearing, and the hearing date will be announced if it hasn't been already sometime soon. Still working with and gathering information from the county as to exactly how things are going to run. So everything is still, you know, it's still a work in progress. And we're now kind of still doing a little bit of educational work. There's going to be a creek walk, I believe, Saturday. That's pretty much my report for Zone 1-1A. We have parks and rec.
Excuse me, President Dahl. Is there a contact person? The district's getting a considerable number of calls.
Yes, there's actually
specific questions, and we don't have the answers.
Yeah, there's actually a couple contact people. Let's see if I have that here. And the contact people were in the informational sheet that was sent out to all the property owners. And let's see, there's a few places that people can go. They can go to a website at www.coastalrcd.org, C-O-A-S-T-A-L-R-C-D. And follow the links to Zone 1-1A website. You can contact the Zone 1-1A Outreach Committee members, Norm, at 473-2509-19095. Okay. And then we had a Parks and Rec meeting, as well as meeting with the county and several other people. And I'll give a little bit on that, and then I'm sure, Bill, you can add in on that. The county is thinking the best direction. There's the study that's come out, and the county is thinking that the best direction to go is to approach the school, which has not been done yet, to see for a park in that area. And they're not too interested in doing a little pocket park. That's basically where they're, what the county's looking at. The school has not been approached, but we did have an article in the paper about it, about what the county's wanting here recently. And I think that concludes my information on that, and I'll let Bill fill in on the rest of the meeting.
The county is pretty much wants to do a park at the school. The school is a great site for a park, but I have a few questions. And the school, if we do a park there, I want to see this park last for 10, 30, 40, 50, 99 years. I don't want to see it put in and taken out in 5 years or 2 years. I want to make sure this is something that lasts for a long time. When they put in the library, it's only for a short time, is what I'm hearing right now. And that's good because we can possibly find another location better suited for a library here in Oceano, and Mitch has brought up some locations for that. But a park needs to be on this side of the tracks for our children. With that, we have scheduled a meeting for May 11th to walk around the school, look at the school, possibly look at another piece of property over in that area. This will be a Parks and Recreation meeting. It'll be posted. We'll be meeting over around the school. I, by no means, this is a draft form. In their draft form here, they have a lot of pictures. They've got a lot of pullouts, foldouts. They show a lot of potential park locations. This is outdated already, and it hasn't even come out. There's majority of the locations that they've picked, there's already houses on there. That's not an option. There's a whole housing complex that went on. But on the same sense, there are several properties here that don't have anything on them. And there's still the potential of acquiring a pocket park, which OCSD would own and maintain for the future of our community. Us owning the property, us maintaining the property, like the community center when we had our park there, was a very good benefit to the community. Just around the school is a great, great location for a park. Vern and I spent a lengthy time looking at a location on 22nd Street. In reality, it's not the best location, as there's too many houses directly going around this property. But we were on the right track. We started off there. The May 11th, school, park, I'd like to see attendance. I'd like to be able to talk to people. I'd like to be able to get people's ideas. We're hoping to have the school there, find out what kind of long-term park we can have there. Very likely, this could work out very well with the school. And if we can work a park on the school site where it's not infringing on others' rights for recreation at there, then that's a great location. But at this point, we haven't even talked to the school. So with that, I'm going to drop off that unless there's other questions. Regarding the potential park, I don't see any. Max?
If I may ask a question.
Max Padilla, Oceano Market. I think in the county of San Luis Obispo, the recreation parks are considered the park like we have here in Oceano there, and also the schools are already, perhaps that part of the school can be eliminated, that particular ground, and put lawn or trees and make a portion of that like a park. Let's face it, that's probably the biggest piece of land in Oceano that's available, that, and it's centrally located for the people here. And it's always been used as a community place. It's being used today. Even without the permission of Lucille Mara School District, there the principal, Tom Butler, is working close with the community, he's working close with me, and he's asking me if anybody wants to get the keys to go in there. They're jumping the fence right now. The key, it's locked up for safety reasons, and he will not release a key until he finds a responsible person that's willing to step up on it. I told him that I would do that and find a responsible person so that they can open up the gate rather than jump that 12-foot fence they have there. They could get hurt, really. But they do that. They do that every Sunday. And we're looking into that. They're going to start Little League there. And also, they're going to allow the men's soccer league to play there on Saturday and Sundays. So that is a good location, Bill, quite frankly, because it's, yes, it's a ready-made place. And I think that if there's any monies available, I think it could be used in that certain area to enhance the community center and the school ground and perhaps use that whole school as a center point of Oceano. You've got the library there, which I think eventually they'll be moving out if they find a better location. But you also have, I think they have a mental health up there in a corner up there next to the community center. They have a Head Start up there. They have a migrant place there. So it's actually a center point in the community, which would help you folks who are interested in putting a park here to start something there. And I believe that you'll get the full cooperation of Tom Butler and to be able to use that land on weekends because it's not being used. It's not being permitted, that is. It's used now, but they're doing it illegally. And we should look into that so that it's open to the public. And that's the closest place for a park, and it's the best centrally located place.
Very good. It is very centrally located, so... I want to remind everyone that this is our cleanup week, April 10th to 14th. So, trash, get rid of it. That's it.
Okay. Director Angelo?
Well, we had a fire committee meeting. We're up to 208 calls. We went over some additional information, but that's well on its way to being implemented. I think that was about it. Unless you have something else, Mike.
Okay. Director Hill?
Nothing to report at this time.
Just hold on. Okay. We're going to go through all the directors, and then we'll go to public comment. Director Mann?
Sanitation district meeting. We discussed the creek, and I reminded them that they need to put on the next agenda for a vote to see which way the sand district is going to vote for on the 218, because even though we all know what we need to do, it still needs to be put on there the proper way for Rio Grande, Grover, and Oceano to vote on the 218. Vote. We have however many votes, it's a ton of votes for that. And it then, since the sand district is, according to the county or to the people that did the studies, are a benefit cleaning the creek, so then the people who get bills for sewer sanitation will be paying for the cleaning of the creek. We all of us, everybody, Grover, Aurora Grande, and Oceano. Just, you know, not, there are so many of us, it is not a gigantic amount that will be added because what are there, how many connections are there, Mitch, in the Five Cities area?
Well, I have no idea.
I mean, you know, thousands. So it won't be a lot of money that's going to be added to our bill, but yet it is going to be added to the bill, and nothing I can do about it or we can do about it, but it kind of seems to me that the people that live in the flood district, the residents, they're going to be paying twice. They're going to be paying their assessment at the house and then this small additional amount on their sewer bill. For that, I don't know how, there's no way, I guess, that they can pull that out. But so when you, you know, people will be. The other thing I wanted to talk about, April 30th is Day of the Child. That's held at the school. The fire department goes there, the sheriff's department. I don't know all the different vendors that are there. You're going to cut up a car, aren't you? Is that what you're going to do there? Show the jaws of life or whatever it is. So our guys will be there for that. Then I had one other thing. Went to the training session that the county held for advisory councils, and I brought back the book, and we'll be making copies of that so everybody on the advisory group will have a copy of it, because Tom Ramler and I were the only ones that were able to go. It was a pretty good session. They had all the different departments in the county that deal with planning, land use, cleanup, code enforcement. They all had their little time to give their spiels. And it was from 8:45 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. But it was time well spent. So I was glad I went and, you know, saw people that I've known for a long time, too. So that's the only things I had. Oh, I have one other thing. I just saw this on the Board of Supervisors agenda packet for April 11th, that the mobile home park at 2700 Cienega is going to be getting four more residential units in their mobile home park. If it's the one I'm thinking about, I think those will get flooded if there's a flood, because they're in the back. And I don't know how many times this board or this organization has told them no, but they went to the county and they got their use permit. So I don't know what to say. But I just noticed that, just for your information.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Cooney?
Okay, I attended the RAC and the presentation by the City of San Luis concerning the landscape task force. A lot of agencies are not in the position that our board has left us in, and that's a very positive position that our board has put us in as far as having a low price for water. As we've heard in the past, we're dealing with water now and approaching, you know, $2,500 an acre foot. There was also a discussion on the opening recommendations for the county water master plan. We don't have to do a water master plan because our number of connections are under the legal limit. But they started to come up with beginning recommendations to develop a countywide water master plan. And that was basically the RAC.
Thank you. Any public comment on the direct district representative reports?
Mary Lucy Oceano. I'd like to know where we are in collecting the $800 per new unit that's built in the county. We usually get an $800 fee that's usually collected by the county, and that money is used to support local fire departments in restricted capacity. And this board suspended that, the county collecting that, back in April. And, you know, I don't have to tell you guys how much growth has gone on in this county, but, you know, I don't want to go around and start counting buildings and times, you know, $800 per new building. It seems like we're losing a lot of money. So I guess it's a follow-up.
President Dahl, under written communications we received in the last few days, and I haven't had a chance to review it yet, but we have received from the county the draft of the public facilities finance plan, which will be on the County Board of Supervisors agenda for April 25th, and there will be a copy available in the office for anybody who wants to review it.
Okay, so I guess I have another follow-up question. Is like, at what point did your body determine who was going to collect the money? Because it was suspended, and tabled at this body that you couldn't determine who was going to collect the $800, so you suspended that ordinance. You know, you couldn't decide whether it was going to be the county that would collect the $800 in the planning department or if it would be in the front office. So,
the county is the agency which will collect the money. There are, you know, it's not just a matter of collecting money. It's also a matter of being able to administer the program. There is a consultant that the county hired to...
You have to be a scientist to figure out that it's a substantial amount of money that we've lost. Secondly, is that maybe you can help me here, Mr. Angelo. I was reading the monthly report. It's no big secret that there's a change in staff, and you can say that we're an at-will company. That's fine, but that's a very selective term because this body has discussed change in staff in the administrative department, in the water department, and I don't think the fire department should be excluded from discussing staff changes. Also, too, is that on your monthly report, you state that there was absolutely no trucks or any assistance out on the dunes for the month of March. Am I misreading that?
I believe that's correct.
So, because I've seen the trucks go down the street, you know, out to the dunes, and so could it just like be a dry run?
No, I don't think there was any calls in the month of March.
I asked that question last night, Mary, if I may. They said 3 times in February and 2 in April, none in March.
Okay, thank you. Also, when we went through the budgets, we were repeatedly assured by Mr. Steinhauser and by the general manager that by increasing the budget in the fire department would not create any overtime. In fact, by increasing the staff and bringing on full-time employees, we wouldn't have to pay any overtime. And so I've been watching the warrants, and it seems like the overtime is averaging between 800 to 1,000 each pay period, which is twice a month, and it's rotating between 4 firemen, Leathers, Bova, Angelo, and Goldblum. And it seems like there's a consistent pattern here of a bonus every pay period of overtime between these 4 firefighters. When we were in budgets, and I'll pull out those records and I'll get those tapes, where the general manager and the chief constantly reassured the public that we would not be overspending in overtime. So can we at least have a justification? I mean, for the $1,000 every pay period, which comes out to be $2,000 on the average every month that we're running in overtime. Are we short on staff?
The issue of overtime has been addressed previously. Ms. Lucy is correct that it was our understanding at the time when we put the original plan together that we could do it without overtime. We subsequently received counsel from our district legal counsel that we couldn't do the staffing plan that we had put into place and that overtime was required. We are still falling with...
Trying to guess. Yeah,
Director Hill at the time did ask the question and it was addressed here in public.
What question did he ask?
He asked about the overtime.
And so you made a board action that you were going to adopt a different plan? Because I'm not following you what you're saying, Mr. Cooney.
The staffing plan that the management uses does not require board approval in any fashion. The overall budget is what was approved by the board. And if there was going to be a variation from the budget, and it's not unusual to come back for mid-year adjustments to the budget because you find that things are other than what you had anticipated. So if there was going to be a variation from budget, they would have to bring that back. But the routine week-to-week staffing plan does not require board approval.
And I agree with you, Council, on that. But the budget was based on a plan, and we were assured that we would not run these high amounts in overtime. So if there is an adjustment that was attached to the finances, it does have to come back, even if it's for the record.
I respectfully disagree.
That's okay. We usually do. Also, too, is there was a payroll that was processed, and I can't quite figure it out, and it's in the warrant, so maybe you could elaborate on that for me, too. Thank you for your time.
If I could make a brief comment on one of Mary's points, the finance issue being taken up on the 25th before the Board of Supervisors, I recall asking time after time in this board what was going to happen to public facility fees, and I was assured that by last October we'd be on board with public facility fees and the fire department would be receiving those funds, certainly no later than first September, then October, then, you know, maybe December, then maybe January. Now hopefully we'll see something on the 25th of the month, and I am discouraged that it's taken this long, but I am at the same time hopeful that we'll start receiving the development fees to support the fire department and hopefully other endeavors in the community. I'm very much with you on that.
Can I ask one more question? And when you're going through the
Tuesday, so that will be included in the next agenda packet, which will include the fire chief.
Okay. Thank you.
So, just so I have this correct, so that pay comes every other warrant cycle?
They get paid once a month.
Oh, they get paid once a month. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other public comment on the reports of district representatives?
Max Padillo, Shannon Market. Just want to make a comment on what Barbara mentioned about the Day of the Child they're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
Will the parents be invited to visit the school at that day? Because I think it's kind of important if you're going to have the fire department demonstrating certain safety things that and equipment that they use in emergencies, that the parents themselves be aware of what's available with the local fire department. I think the child will be amazed to see all the different equipment and stuff and the firemen, but I think that by having the parents there will reinforce that so that they know exactly what that means, what safety that means to that family and to the community of Oceano.
Now, I don't have anything to do with the running of the Day of the Child. I just knew about it and had the date. But it seems to me in years past when I've happened to go by there or go there, you see a lot of parents with little kids. It seems to be maybe family day or as opposed to just Day of the Child. Wouldn't you say there's a lot of parents?
Right. I volunteered to assist on the Day of the Child several times, and there are always lots of parents around. It's a great family day.
Yeah.
I think
it's kind of a family atmosphere.
Yeah, they also have do they have the helicopters there? Are they the highway patrols there with a bunch of their stuff and the ambulances? There's all sorts of things for the kids. The smokehouse, maybe. I don't know. Are they having that this year? No, not this year.
Well, just in case, but in case there's a possibility to put a notice out through the school, because I think it is important that the parents be aware of this particular day. I didn't know about it until you just mentioned it now, so I think it's important that we send some type of notice out to the parents, maybe with the kids themselves, so they can participate in it.
I'll try to remember to give Tom Butler a call tomorrow to ask him. He probably is doing that.
Okay, any other public comment on reports of district representatives? Okay. Moving on to item number 13, board member items for discussion.
I have something, but there's some pretty big projects that have been in the works for many years down there, such as the where the trailer park is right there by Pure Liquor. And basically, if the Airport Land Use Commission, if they get their way, it'll just completely eliminate that project. And, you know, who's our representative from here?
I believe that's Jim, but I've attended the last one or two. And
I probably have a conflict as far as you know, owning some property within that zone, but it's going to affect the whole development of Pier Avenue if this goes
It's going to affect not just Pier Avenue, but a lot of the area, basically west of Highway 1. In some ways, one way or another. And the way they're calculating what's going to be acceptable and not acceptable has greatly changed. And so, yeah, they're going to be coming to the community and trying to, or presenting what they're wanting to do or trying to do. And I expect it's going to be, probably get quite heated. And, you know, the residents, it's not too early to get involved in attending these meetings at the county level now. And keeping informed on what's going on.
Just dovetailing onto that a little bit, I noticed that the Board of Supervisors, the gentleman that has the property behind David Angelo's, he got a... the paper street behind him that he wanted, Smith Avenue, they gave him what he wanted on that. So the county, the two hands of the county kind of maybe don't know what the other one's doing. You know, they're helping, they're giving him stuff to say, yeah, you can build or this or that. And then airport land use is going to be saying no. And once airport land use is finished, once their thing goes in, then the whole specific plan has to be rewritten. So everybody's going to want to be involved in that. I see a number of you here that were involved with it before, but we'll be starting over at square one. Anything on that side of the highway because of the Airport Land Use Commission saying the specific plan.
Roshan and the community, such as a park. But, and I'm also opposed that if and maybe you guys can direct us in this matter as to how we can get involved in it, because we don't want the airport commission to stifle the growth in Oceano. And I think it's about time that they allow those folks in the beach area to develop that. It's a beautiful area. And I think that there's enough folks that come from out of town that use it. And I think it would be a very strong tax base. Besides, they need some development over there. And it's been very few folks that have actually gotten involved and have improved that part of the Oceano. So I think maybe the board should be backing the community and backing those folks who want to develop that area and not allow the airport commission to put any more restrictions because they're not useful for Oceano, believe me. And I don't think that airport's big enough for an emergency, if it was used as an emergency, to back up the San Luis Obispo airport. So that land could be used for something else, and maybe we should abolish that airport commission in the Oceano area and allow the people in the Oceano beach area to continue to grow and to develop that area. It's such a beautiful place.
From what I understand, the FAA ranks airports as how important they are within their whole airport system, and the Oceano airport is ranked rather high. In addition to that, if there was a way to get that airport closed, there'd be a tremendous amount of monies that would have to be paid back in grants and different things that the airport has received. So getting it closed would be a very difficult task. The airport commission itself is, although it advises the county, it is set up by law from the state, I believe. And that is their jurisdiction for the use, how the land develops around airports. It's not something that we can abolish as a board here.
Or the county. I don't.
Or the county.
What I can understand that, and I think that airport's been there a long time, but I think that we have to look at it in what's best for the community. And if we have to give up those grants, if they've received grants in the past, they really haven't affected the community. They haven't done any good for the community. They haven't helped us in the community. That area down there, they never repaired the streets in that area down there. So it really hasn't done that much for the community. So if we lose those grants...
I'm trying to give you information that I've heard. You know, I don't like to see any stifled growth from people around there from what they want to do with their property either. And it is going to be coming to the community. It is something that people can actually already start getting involved in. They can contact County Planning Department, who I believe staffs the Bill Robeson is the staff person for the Airport Land Use Commission. You can get agendas of what's going on, get yourself educated on how they're going to be changing the rules. They're going to come to the public and take public input, and they're going to go back from with that public input to try to change or modify how they're doing things. But it is coming up. It's something that is going to be happening here over the next probably 6 months.
It's on the agenda for next week.
Is it? I know it's coming up, and it's going to be happening. The process will go on for a while, but now's the time to get yourself educated and pick up the information and find out what they've been up to so far and what's going on and how it's going to affect your property here. It's not too early to get involved and attend the meetings in San Luis. They meet at the County Board of Supervisors room.
Well, Mr. President, with all due respect, I'm looking at the warrants and I see that we've paid you to attend those meetings. And Mr. Angelo, I think that people need to hear what you're saying very, very loudly, is that area is going to be affected economically, by this decision. And so as a board, as a policy board, I strongly, strongly encourage you to put your strongest foot forward. Mr. Dahl, you didn't bring this up. Mr. Angelo brought this up. So I would put your biggest mouth on this board if it's going to affect that area, because we already are paying for advocacy on that board. And you didn't even bring it up in your reports.
I'm not on that board. I did bring it up last time when
we went. But you billed us for it.
I brought it up last time when it was after it was attended in the last meeting. I've expanded on it at this meeting.
A point of clarification. We send somebody to attend and bring back, and in public comment they could say something, but we're not a member on that board.
Many instances on Pier Avenue. The specific plan, which Dave brought up, is worthless for Oceano. We all know that. They know that, the county. It's outdated. It doesn't make sense for the community of Oceano. It needs to be redone. It hampers Oceano. Anytime someone goes to the county and they say, I want to do something, they say, let's refer to the specific plan. You look at the specific plan. The first thing that's said is, well, this thing's worthless. And it is worthless. It's affecting our community, and it needs to be revised and re-looked at by our community. Our community needs to pay attention to that, just as what's happening with the airport. They need to pay attention to that, along with our draft for the community parks and recreation. This is something, when it's done, it needs to be up to date and it works for our community.
The problem has been is that people would try to develop their property according to the Pacific plan, and when they take their project to the Airport Land Use Commission, they'd get denied. So the Airport Land Use Plan has been a while since it was last redone, so now they're doing it again, and it looks like the restrictions will probably be more stringent. Even yet.
Well, if we don't have a voice on that board, then we should have some other right as citizens and of the community to be able to put to oppose them making any changes. I mean, does it take the community to go to the Board of Supervisors and take a position, or do we change the Board of Supervisors and vote them out? The fact of the matter is that property is in Oceano, and it's affecting Oceano's residents. So maybe you folks here in this board have to go out on the limb and take a stance on there, even though you don't have a voice. And that you can get up and say public comment and say, we as board members feel that they shouldn't have any revisions and maybe abolish that particular commission in Oceano. Something's got to be done. And I think that if we as a board here cannot do anything, then maybe the folks who have property in the beach area have to mobilize the community and take a strong stance. We cannot allow the county to hold jurisdiction over Oceano, and that when it comes to important issues like that, to say, hey, sorry, you folks can't say nothing about us. It's the United, you don't have no representatives. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right. I think there should be some type of legal process that
we've done our public comment on it, so we're going to move on to item number 14.
Oh, hold on a second. I have something
some
here.
Items.
Oh, okay.
Barbara wants to be last.
Yeah, I just want to be
okay.
last.
Oh, okay.
So you got Barbara, me.
Okay.
Or, no, me, Jim, then Barbara. She wants to be last. I don't know if the public out here is aware, but we've got mosquitoes and still water. You need to be dumping the water. We've had a lot of rain. I'm seeing in my neighborhood where I live, mosquitoes. I got bit tonight. Kind of hurt. I was shocked. I've been dumping water at my nursery. Our community, we need to start dumping water, making sure that there's no still water in our backyards, in our front yards, our side yards. We're going to have a bad mosquito year. It's going to be very bad. I hope that we can get some money to help combat the mosquitoes.
The mosquito guy was here, and there's the guy from the county.
Yeah. Their mosquitoes are here. So it's something we need to be aware of. I want to compliment the fire department again. And within the last year, they've been on my street that I've seen three times at one of my neighbor's house. And the first two times was, I believe, inside the house that they responded to emergencies. I don't know what they were. This last time, I believe they responded to the gentleman who lives in the motorhome in the backyard of the house. And I don't know exactly what happened there. But, I mean, this gentleman's lived back there for a year in a motorhome that he's put on the back of the property. And I'm glad to see the fire department quick response to my neighbors when they're in need. And that's it.
Your point on the mosquitoes is very well taken. I see that the county's tossed a handful of dollars toward us for supposedly for flood control. Hopefully it won't all go into a study this time, but maybe they'll actually provide for some drainage with the money. Even you're exactly right. People need to dump the standing water as much as they can, but there's a lot of standing water that's here just because of the lay of the land. And the county has supported growth and development here without any provision for adequate drainage. And this is an ongoing problem that we've discussed with the Board of Supervisors previously. We're finally getting some little token amount of money addressed to drainage. But your point is taken, and hopefully the county will realize what is... Yeah.
Well, we're going to need it in Oceano.
Director Mann,
A few items. First of all, congratulations again to Max and Jeanette Padilla. Oceano Valero is great. One of our good local businesses here. Many come to mind. The Melodrama, Old Juan's Restaurant. There's great places and great businesses in Oceano. Come on down and check it out. Max and Jeanette have just got the latest one. So, again, congratulations. We're glad to see you here. Zone 1-1-A, Vern mentioned that. That's good. If you do live in the zone, you've probably got a ballot by now. If you're a property owner in the zone, I should say, it doesn't go to the residents. It goes to the property owners. And if you're a resident, such as a renter, and you have influence with the landlord there, a vote yes supporting the Prop 218 election will ultimately mean that you only pay about a third of what you're going to have to pay if that vote fails and the state Department of Water Resources come in. And there's been a lot of people work very hard on that. Vern gave the phone numbers for Norm Getty at 473-2509, Regina Rocha 481-9095 if you have any more questions on that. And Julie Thomas and Linda Chipping at the San Luis Coastal RCD have done just a great job with that, as many other people have. So congratulations to the Zone 1-1-A Advisory Committee and taking this as far as they've gone with it. I see just, I'll just say one quick thing about public comment at the end. It's pretty apparent to me that people want to talk at the end of the meeting. I would hope that, again, we would reconsider that. Lastly, a very important thing happened in terms of our district, and I'm very discouraged to see that it never even made it onto the agenda or anything. We have reports of district representatives, and that's the Fire Consolidation Oversight Committee meeting that was 3/24/06, and the Joint Dispatch Ad Hoc Committee of 4/3/06. And I'm concerned that our fellow jurisdictions are going to get the idea that Oceano doesn't care about this issue. The reason I'm concerned about that is because our appointed representatives to both these meetings, which include the fire chief, were no-shows to those meetings. And that discourages me, and I think it puts out the wrong message. There's many of our residents in Oceano and many of our board members are interested in following this. The whole, it may be that there are things that we can share joint resources and save money for our residents and possibly increase the level of service behind the fire department. And I want to make sure that we get the information and we can make an informed decision when the time comes. So again, I want to register my discouragement that something of that importance, when there was two important meetings held, that we didn't deem it important enough to go.
Jim, I would just like to correct one thing. Director Angelo is our representative to that. However, the meeting he was supposed to attend was the day he was at the hospital with his wife all day.
Well, I respect that. And, but I would hope it
isn't that he, please.
I certainly don't mean to disparage. I didn't want to name anybody, and I don't want to make any disparaging comment for Director Angelo, and I respect that we have health issues that, yeah, you know, that trump any kind of a meeting, yeah, and I certainly respect that, but at the same token, I would hope that we would have an alternate that could attend in his place.
And unfortunately, I wasn't able to go that day either, but I did want you to know, you know, he didn't blow it off.
No.
Because you didn't, I know you did not know.
Yeah. If something like that happens and one person's not able to go, a second person isn't able to go, is it possible to call another director or keep going down the line? Because I can make time to go.
Well, I think the general manager filled in.
Well, yeah, the general manager's on the committee.
Yeah.
And
but you're on the committee. I mean, yeah, wouldn't it be better to have a
think
director
that
from
anyone
the board
who
present?
Yeah. Anyone who received a copy, which everyone who received a copy of the regular agenda also received a copy of the fire committee, and the minutes of both of those meetings were attached to the fire committee agenda.
But we didn't deem it worthy of comment to even list it on the reports of district representatives. That is discouraging to me. And since you did list the RAC on here, and then I see other, didn't happen. So I would have appreciated a report that we could have shared with the general public here tonight. In the last meeting, when I made a comment that I thought was in good taste and so forth about the lack of public comment at the end of the meeting, I was jumped and told to read my code of ethics. And I think the president was confusing rules of order with the district had to withhold that from another cash advance of his because he didn't pay it back. And
sure,
also the cell phone issues that where you use the district paid cell phone that we finally managed to do away with, but you use that to for your own business transactions and so forth. Another no-show that cost the district $500 and again, it looked to me like a payday loan of district funds. So you want to talk about ethics, Vern? I'll be glad to talk about ethics with you all day long.
Yeah, you make a lot of assumptions.
Let's bring back the public comment at the end, Vern.
That's you make it. A lot of assumptions that are not true in those statements, Jim. Okay.
I like public comment. Freedom of speech.
All right. Any other ones, board member items for discussion?
Yeah, I have two things. I did not make the last meeting, but I think you might have mentioned, Mr. Hill perhaps mentioned, the audit from the community center. I watched it on television, and I agree with Mr. Hill that, you know, a promise is a promise, a contract's a contract, and we were supposed to receive audits from the community center. Don't know if we received the one for 2004, which would have been last year because their year ends December 31. We don't have one for 2005, and I think they need to give us the audits. You know, that was the deal. Mrs. Brackett and Ms. Carey stood here and said that they would provide us these audits, and you know, to me that was a contract, and I would like to see that happens. The next time they need something signed or want something, I think our answer should be no until we get the audits.
Well, I think your board president left town with the checkbook.
I appreciate that you bring that up, Barbara, and it's not just a verbal thing. I mean, they signed on the dotted line on a contract that said that they would account for all of the grant money and so forth that they'd received and where it went. And what they basically do is just ask for more money. And people that ask about the money, which is public funds, if this was just, you know, donations, individual donations and things, I wouldn't be bringing this up. But that's not the case. The case is that this is grants that are used and that the people who live here can afford to use it and their back's not broken by the tremendous loan that had to be taken out to finance the thing. I noticed that apparently Mrs. Brackett has stepped down from the board there. I don't know, this thing just looks really rotten to me. And I have to say that I don't like it at all. I don't like the way we've been blown off when we have asked for an audit, when they signed that they would give it to us, and they repeatedly fail to come through with any kind of accounting. They just thumb their nose at us. You know, the money's gone, Ruth Brackett's gone, and we have no accounting. So pretty soon, you know, if I have to predict the future, I can't do that. But I would say that within a matter of a couple of years, the property's going to revert to Coast National Bank, and we'll be dealing with them. So, you know, I wish them luck, and I hope the people in this community get some use out of it without having to pay an arm and a leg for it. But we'll see. Time will tell, won't it?
I have one last thing, and this is just to the fellow board members. The California Special District Association chapter meeting, the annual meeting, is here on April the 21st at 5:30. We'll be voting for a LAFCO alternate. We have one vote. Each district has one vote for an alternate because we have sat without an alternate since when did Las Osas have the recall, because we lost our alternate at that. And we'll be electing chapter officers for next year. And there's a silent auction. And you need to let Gina know if you and your spouse or significant other are going, because they need the count, please. That's all I have.
Okay. Is that everything? Okay. Consideration of the warrants? Oh. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Daniel Maldonado, Oceano. Okay, we're talking about the mosquitoes, and I have told you many, many times, as a matter of fact, for years, I've been fighting this with the county, with the district, with everybody. When it rains, all the water goes into my house and makes a big puddle right in the front, and it stays there for weeks, unless I get the broom and sweep it, and this is what I have been doing. Most of this time that it has rained, the puddle is still there up to now. And another thing, I seen the program last week, and to tell you the truth, I was very disappointed. So what I'm saying is that at least try to get along when you're not on television, because this is what the community is looking. The whole county seen it. I seen it. I was very disappointed, okay, because even I, that don't have any education, wouldn't go that way in front of people. Okay, and Mr. Hill was right. We do have the right to freedom of speech. This is what it's all about. Okay, this is a country that was founded, and we follow the rules of the country. We don't make the rules. We have to follow them. Okay, another thing is that I would like to invite the community, if it's all right with you. Okay, and I will tell them to them in my own language. Okay, thank you. Okay, para toda la comunidad de Oceano, se les invita que por favor atiendan a estas juntas que tenemos aquí cada dos semanas del mes. Es muy importante que cada uno de ustedes atienda estas juntas para que así no nos estén subiendo tanto la agua, así como también el garbage y todo eso, para que se den cuenta de todo lo que se está haciendo en esta comunidad. No nomás estén sentados mirando televisión, porque eso no nos va a ayudar en nada. Tenemos que estar aquí para tener también ellos que tengan la fuerza de nosotros y nosotros la fuerza de ellos. Tenemos que seguir adelante y sí podemos. So, no nomás se sienten y te miren televisión. Quiero que por favor atiendan todos. And I thank all of you. And I hope this doesn't happen again on television. Okay, if you might put the gloves, go outside. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to consideration of the warrants. Public comment on the warrants? Anyone from the board?
Move to pay the warrants.
Second.
Motion is second. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Carries 5-0. Any written communications?
The written communications have already been discussed, which is the public facility fees.
Okay.